Hello, my name is Gavin. I am 16 and today is Sunday, December 1st. I am speaking with Steve Golding, who is my father, and we are in Rochester, New York. So, can you tell me about someone you'll always remember?
Someone I always remember, my father. He was, he died in 1995, he was born in 1932, and he was served in the Korean War and worked his life at Eastman Kodak. But he was always a good role model for me and a great father, and I miss him very much.
So, next, we have, what do you feel most grateful for in your life?
I feel most grateful for my family. Obviously, you know, my wife, your mother, and our kids, and just being able to spend time with you and proud of how you're doing in school and how you're growing up to be a young man. And very happy to see my, you know, our oldest daughter, your sister, in college at Gettysburg College, her first year there. And she's loving it and going down there for history, which is a perfect school for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful for you know, family and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. So, can you remember a time in your life where you felt most alone?
When I felt most alone, probably, that's a good question.
I guess it could be like something bad that happened in your life, or something that just put you down.
Well, it's just hard because, you know, I've always had good support from my family and friends, so probably felt most alone was, I don't know, maybe back, you know, when you're really young in elementary school and, you know, you just, well, I'm not sure exactly. It's hard for me. I don't know. Tell you when you're a lot younger and you're you know, you feel like you're really independent then, and you really aren't. And when you're really young, living with your parents, you don't really want to ask anyone for help because you always try to do everything yourself. And you don't want to really confide in anybody about, you know, things that make you sad or bother you, that kind of stuff. So I guess like when you're a lot younger, now I don't have that much of a problem. You know, I guess as you get older, you kind of realize that you need support of your family and friends, and you can't just hold everything in by yourself. And
if you do that, I guess in the future, it doesn't help, right? If you hold everything.
No,
in,
it doesn't. You should always, you know, rely, and that's what your friends and family are for, you know, mainly your family, to be there to support you and provide, you know, the love and support that you need, whatever, so.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess a good follow-up. Do you have any regrets in your life so far?
Yeah, I have regrets. You know, I regret that, you know, when my father was alive, that I didn't tell him I loved him more, that, you know, didn't spend more time with him, that kind of stuff, that I wasn't more... Didn't let him know how proud I really was of him. You know, when you're a teenager and you're young in your 20s, when he did die, you know, it's when I was in my 20s. It's hard to you know, show your feelings and emotion. You know, so I guess my biggest regret would be, you know, just not telling, you know, him and even my mom. Passed away, you know, a year and a half ago, that, you know, you care about them more than when you ever say you do. You know, you should tell them more. You tell them to their face more how much they mean to you and how much you care mm-hmm. about them.
Yeah. All right. Oh, this is a very deep question. if you were to die suddenly this evening, what would you regret not having done?
Well, in my life, I feel like I'm happy where I am. So the only thing I regret is not to be able to see, you know, my kids, you and Gwen and Graylin, all grow up and to meet your children someday if you have them and mm-hmm. see, you know, how you turn out when you go out on your own. I guess that would be my biggest regret.
Mm-hmm. So follow-up question, and the questions that I have, is why haven't you done it? So I guess that's not good in this situation of what you just explained. So we'll go past that question.
Well, no, I mean, as always, you know, I guess if there's other regrets, too, that, you know, I wish I had taken more risks in my life. You know, I'm very conservative in terms of, you know, what I've done in my job. And, you know, there have been opportunities probably that I could have taken advantage of. Maybe that I didn't because I'm not really fond of public speaking or had opportunities to, you know, have more, you know, what's it called? Ambition. Yeah, I guess it could be ambition. You know, just being my, just having regrets of that. You know, I just didn't take more risks, you know, instead of taking a comfortable route, you know, taking that instead of taking something that makes you uncomfortable, but that's where you really excel.
Mm-hmm. So, go somewhere you normally don't.
Mm-hmm.
Try to do your best in that. Is there anything that you've never told me but want to tell me now?
Well, I don't think so, except I always tell you I love you, and I'm very proud of you, and I hope that I tell you everything. I just care about you a lot and worry about you and want you to, you know, do as best you can and hopefully I can help you learn from some of the mistakes I made, and, you know, that's mm-hmm. really it.
Uh-huh. That's good. What is your best memory of your childhood?
My best memory of my childhood? Probably around Christmas time with my family, my sister and my parents, and just, you know, from a long time ago, that's my favorite memory, just, you know, right around Christmas and the anticipation of Christmas Eve when you still believe in Santa Claus and, you know, everything. We always had traditions that we did, and waking up on Christmas morning and seeing all the presents under the tree and just spending time with family. You know, even my cousins and everybody, we always got together during Christmas, and I guess those are my fondest memories when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you want to be remembered?
How do I remember? Well, just as, you know, a caring person, you know, a good parent, a good husband, you know, someone that, you know, I contributed to society, you know, my job and what I do, you know, working for Empire State Development and when I worked for the city roster for 25 years, you know, just all the projects, you know, stuff that you worked on that will be here long after you are in terms of your kids, that type of legacy and projects that you're proud of, that you worked on a city that will, you know, be here long after I'm gone, you know, that stuff that was built and developed and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I guess before we move on, while we're on the topic of your job, do you want to talk about that more, what
sure.
you like about it?
So what I do is I work for the state of New York for Empire State Development, the economic development arm of the state. And so, yeah, I work for the Finger Lakes Regional Office, so we cover 9-county area. And so what we do is we work with businesses to help them grow in New York or businesses to come here and create jobs in New York or expand here in New York if they're already here. And so, you know, we also work with all types of different organizations and institutions to help them grow, to promote economic development and innovation here in the Finger Lakes region. And prior to coming to Empire State Development, over 4 years ago, I worked at City Roster almost 25 years doing mainly real estate development. So I ran a real estate development division in the City Roster. So a lot of our projects included Midtown Plaza and College Town and the Port and a lot of mostly every single, you know, mixed-use residential building in downtown and Brooks Landing and Cornhill Landing. So we worked on a lot of those types of projects that we managed and helped develop. You know, including the Interloop redevelopment. But it's nice because now, you know, I work for the state and I'm kind of still involved in a lot of projects
in the city of Rochester. With the Straw Museum, we gave them a $20 million grant to move ahead with their parking garage, help them do their expansion, which also promoted the hotel development as part of the site and the mixed-use development there. So, you know, continue working with these businesses and helping, you know, grow the New York State and Finger Lakes regional economy is really basically what I do.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite business so far that you've worked with during your job?
Well, there's a lot of good businesses, but I like going out to see the businesses, a lot of the manufacturers that do advanced manufacturing. It's, you know, go walking through some of their facilities, seeing the machines that they're using and technology that they're using is always amazing, and that's always my favorite part of the job. It's unbelievable what type of technology exists out there and what's done here in Rochester that then is shipped out or used in equipment and stuff that's sent out to space or used everywhere across the world. People don't realize how many businesses in Rochester really support, you know, the global economy here and are really utilized, in the entire world economy. So there's a lot of products that are developed here that are really innovative and really exciting to witness being created here.
Uh-huh. Let's move on to another topic of your childhood, I guess. What was school like for you, and do you think it's different to school today?
I think it's more difficult today. I think the advancement with technology and everything. When I was in school, we really didn't have computers. They had when I first took my first test when I was in elementary school, we used to have little, you know, cards we punch holes in, and that's how they graded
punch
the
holes
test. It was like a little index card, and they had numbers on it, and it went into something. Then every time you had an answer, you punched a hole in it.
Uh-huh.
And that hole, they use those cards then to grade your tests on this big computer. They fed them in. I mean, it's just amazing what happened with the technology now. So,
Like
we didn't really even, you know, I remember when they first started coming out with the calculators that everybody used, you know. We didn't have computers. We didn't have word processing. Even when I was in my first year of college, we just started getting word processing. But a lot of my papers I had to do, you know, I had to type on a typewriter. So it's just amazing how different things are now. Obviously, you didn't have cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have graphing calculators when I went to school, so I wouldn't even know how to use a graphing calculator now. So it's just that technology, and just I think it's the biggest difference. And I think, you know, what you're learning now is probably, you know, in 10th grade is probably what I was learning in 12th grade. I'm just making that assumption, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the next generation is always moving ahead at a faster pace.
Right, right. So, I guess what you think is that even though classes are harder now, do you think that maybe we kind of have it better than you did since you didn't have as much technology and stuff to use when you were in school?
No, but not necessarily. I mean, it's just different, right? I mean, every generation is different.
Mm-hmm.
So every learning, you know, is always changing. So I wouldn't say it's, you know, I don't know if it's any harder now. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's a lot more pressure on kids today than there was when I was younger to achieve.
Go to college.
To college. You know, I mean, there's some people, you know, when I went to school, most people went to college, but not that many people went to grad school. I went to grad school, but now it's like college is like, you know, considered like people go to college, everybody goes to college, and now a lot of people also then move on and go on to grad school. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think there's a lot more higher expectations. Doesn't mean it's right. You know, I mean, I think they went too far and everybody has to go to college. Some, you know, there's other, now working with a lot of these advanced manufacturers, there's a lot of companies out there now looking, and we're dealing with this, you know, working with all our economic development partners, trying to find people to fill these, you know, advanced technology types of jobs that you don't need a college education for, but you need a skill set for, and those jobs pay really well. They're, you know, a lot of these jobs start at $50,000 a year, you know, with no college education, just your going through your, you know, apprenticeships or trainings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a job that you really need. And when you walk through these facilities and see what they're doing on these machines, I mean, I couldn't do it myself. I mean, they're highly complex machines where they're, you know, it's not like you're running a lathe. You're pressing buttons and running algorithms and putting something, you know, into the machine. You're programming it, basically, and
mm-hmm.
you know how it is. So,
so there's, like, a lot more mathematics and stuff rather than just pushing buttons.
Yeah, and it's not like the old where you just have a skill set. You're just running a machine with very basic, you know, operations. It's a machine that can almost instantly do anything. And, you know, you're basically running a computer to make that machine do what you need it to do to create a part you need to create or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So the people using these machines in the big industries or big companies, do you think they make it look easier than it really is because they know what they're doing and they've been in it for years?
Yeah, to me, because I have no idea. I couldn't imagine trying to do what they're doing. I mean, you know, I went to school for a certain thing. I know what I'm doing. I work, you know, went to urban regional planning, got my degree in that, and now I do economic development. It's a totally different skill set than working with technology and running larger machines or doing, you know, biosciences and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that if kids were to be allowed to tour companies or look at things that they want to be interested in or are interested in, do you think it'll push them to want to do that more, or do you think...
Well, I think some people they want to go to college, they want a certain career that requires them to do that. There's other people, I think a lot of people don't realize what type of work environment, you know, a lot of these facilities have. It's not, you know, this dirty old manufacturing. It's pretty high level, you know, high end manufacturing. A lot of them are done in clean rooms, you know, where you got to wear a mask and you got to wear white jackets, and it's really highly technical, complex work that is pretty cool to see in person. And I think a lot of people understand when you say advanced technology or advanced manufacturing, really what's involved. You're not working, you know, in a plant sticking, you know, a part on a conveyor belt that's running by you. I mean, it's a pretty interesting field. And, you know, maybe, you know, now seeing all this all the time, you know, I might have taken a different career path than what I had. You know, I never knew about that kind of thing. I was always told, you know, go to college. I mean, luckily I found something I like to do, and I'm happy with the career I chose. You know, I think to expose people to that type of environment, all different types of environments, career environments, is important.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. So what do you think about Gwen's career choice and Mom's career choice?
Well, everybody's career choice is their own. And, you know, you can't push, I don't think you should push anybody into, you know, what career or how they want to proceed with,
uh-huh.
you know, what they want to do for the rest of their life. You know, if it's their passion, they should do it. And if you love your job, I love working for Empire State Development. So it's not really a job for me to go work every day. I love it. I love meeting with people, the companies, the governor comes in. We get to see the governor when he's here. So it's exciting. You know, we're out and about. It's not every project you work on is different. It's, you know, and then, you know, your mother is a teacher. And that's what she loves to do. See, I would hate being a teacher because I hate doing presentations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, your sister wants to be a history teacher, and that's what she wants to do. And so that's what's exciting. Your younger sister's, you know, good at art. Maybe that will lead her to something to do artistically in the future when she gets older, so
mm-hmm.
her career path. So I think everybody has their own choice. The most important thing is to try to do something you like, because it's not as much of a job if you really enjoy going to work. If you hate it, it makes your life miserable.
But if you like it and enjoy what you're doing, then it's not much of a job. It's just having fun.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, that's definitely the best scenario. I mean, job's a job. You know, there's some days you wish, you know, you just have off. You can take, you know, you don't have to go in that day. But, I love what I do, and I don't dread going to work, and I actually look forward to it sometimes. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see here. Going back to the questions on my sheet here. I guess. Okay, so what have you accomplished in your life so far?
What have I accomplished?
Anything good or just...
Well, I'm happy I have a job. I'm able to support my family. And, you know, together, my wife and I, who also has a job, they were both able to support our family and do things that we want to do and take you on vacations and give you the things that, you know, that make you happy. You know, I'm just proud of a lot of the accomplishments I had working with the city of Rochester and now working with the state. And, you know, again, like, yeah, I could almost point to any building downtown and say, well, I did this with that developer. I worked on this with that project. And you can see, you know, what I did, you know, because of my work and my team or whoever worked on that project together, mm-hmm. You know, that we're able to accomplish something and do something good for the community.
Mm-hmm.
That goes the same thing with Empire State Development. It's more focused on really job creation in the region, the Nye County region. So, you know, that's important. You provide incentive to a business. They create jobs. You know, someone out there doesn't have a job now or is able to get a better job, and, you know, that job that company created, it makes a real difference. Or working with a company that, you know, is thinking of leaving New York State or downsizing and providing them, you know, incentive through our refundable tax credits or whatever, helps retain that job. You know, it's important that people to have that job or want that job or need a job, you know, they support their family too. And they have their own goals, their own life. So yeah, I think that's what I'm most proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I'm not sure how emotional you are with this, but I kind of want to get into your mom and dad more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Talk about what they've done for you or what you've done for them or grandma's gone.
Yeah, my parents are very supportive. We're always like the I love you type of family, right? Like your mom. You know, I wish that, again, I said that earlier, we'd done that more. We tried to do that with you. But, you know, I obviously miss them. It's tough when you lose your parents. And my father I kind of lost when he was younger. He's only 62. He just turned 62, I think. And so it's, you know, it was good. You know, I kept my mom. She lived, you know, into her 80s, which is good. And, you know, I miss her every day. And I miss them. And I miss, you know, but I had all the memories they spent with us. They were great parents. They were very supportive. They also provided for my sister and I. So it's all the memories. And, you know, even though they're gone on this earth, you know, what the memory carries on is with, you know, us and you and everybody. And it's a legacy, you know. And you never forget them.
Right.
And you miss them. But they, you know, they had to do their own sacrifices for us, you know. I mean, my father worked, you know, three different shifts at Kodak to support his family for, you know, 30-something years he did that. And then ended up, you know, because he worked at Kodak, ended up getting asbestos in his lungs and ended up killing him and basically ended up killing his sister, too, also worked there, and my uncle, his brother. So Kodak was a tough place to work, you know, back then, you know, with, you know, it wasn't always the most healthiest place, but, you know, he worked there to provide for his family, and he was a great dad, and my mom was a great mother, and, you know, my mother always put us first, and that she never put herself first, so, and, you know, I kind of realized that, you didn't realize that when I was in high school or college, because you're kind of young and a little bit selfish, but then as you get older and you have your own family, you see how much they really sacrifice for me and my sister, and even you and my family and everybody, so. You know, my mother was really, never put herself first ever. It's always everybody else.
Mm-hmm. I guess since I never got to meet your dad, or both Gwen and Graylin, they haven't been able to meet him yet.
You're older than Graylin. So
yeah.
He died in 1995.
Okay.
So Gwen wasn't born until 2001, so no, I even met him. Brianna was his only grandchild that he would have met, because he did meet her. He got to hold her. That's my, you know, your cousin, my sister's daughter. So she was born a couple months before he died, and so he got to see her and hold her. And so that was good for him.
What is I guess since I never or no one really got to meet him or do anything with him, what is something you want us to know about him? Anything, like, one good thing about him or two good things about him?
A lot of good things. He was a very generous person. Everybody liked him. You know, I mean, when I was younger and my friends would come over late at night, if we'd been out at 12 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning, he would come downstairs and he'd want to make everybody something to eat, you know. So he was very generous, always giving, very social, loved to talk to people, you know, and he was very, you know, was very creative, you know. He could play the piano very good. He could just hear a song. He didn't need music notes to play it. He could just hear it and play it. And he wrote, you know, stories and poems. And so he was a like very well-rounded person.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything bad about him or anything you didn't like? Anything you want to say about
him? No, there's nothing really that, now you think back when you're little or younger, you think like, you know, oh, you get mad at them for doing this or doing that or being strict with you, but they do that because they love you.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, there's nothing I don't think I could ever say bad about him. You know, nothing at all.
What about your mom? Any, like, good and bad things?
No, I mean, she's a great mother. You know, there's nothing to say that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she loved us and she did a good job raising us and, that was what she did. She gave everything to her family. And so there's nothing bad. I mean, no. I mean, I used to get mad when I was younger because she grounded me because I stayed out too late or got caught doing something I shouldn't have been doing. And I, you know, get mad at her. But it really wasn't her fault. It was my fault. She was just trying to discipline me to show me what's right and wrong. There's consequences for doing wrong.
And at the time, you didn't like it. But then
exactly.
In the future, you knew that.
Well, then you understand later. And it's my own fault.
Right. Let's see. I guess while we're getting to the end of it, we got about 15 minutes, I think.
15 minutes?
Yeah, 15 minutes left in the recording. 18, about. So start wrapping up things, I guess. So can you...
So you're almost in the 30 minutes. You're 26 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah, and then there's like it's like a 45-minute recording thing. but I at least have to meet 30 minutes, and I can go
mm-hmm.
further if I want.
Okay, whatever.
So,
I can talk all day.
What do you want to talk about? Is there anything I missed that you might feel like you want to tell me?
No, I just, also, you know, your great-grandfather, my grandfather, I remember him. It was my dad's father. He was in World War I. He was born in 1892, I think, around there, maybe. So I remember him because I was a little kid. You know, we'd go over to their house, my grandfather and grandmother, and he would always be there and hang out with us and tell us stories and do you know, pull the penny out of your ear tricks and stuff like that. But he was also a great man, and you know, that he fought in World War I is pretty amazing. You know, and he died in 73, and then my grandmother and my father's dad died, or mother died in, like, I think about 1982 or so. So I remember her. She was a pretty cool lady. And then my mother's parents, I never met them. I did meet them, but I was too young to remember them. They died in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I heard stories about them, too, from my aunt's husband, my mom's sister's husband. He used to tell stories about, because him and his wife, my aunt, lived with them for a bit. But, you know, that kind of stuff is cool, knowing that my grandfather's in World War I, and, you know, and he has some of his stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the German warhead he had his helmet.
Got all that in the basement.
Yep. So that's pretty cool.
Chest of the stuff.
Yeah, medals and...
Let's see. Okay. Is there anything that reminds you of anyone important in your life from me or Gwen or anything? Like, does anything from us remind you of, like, your dad or
your grandfather?
Yeah, I mean,
you look a lot like my father did. So I see a lot of my dad and you. You know, kind of, I see that. Yeah, I see bits and parts of everybody and you know, all three of you guys. So, you know, parts of your mom and, you know, it's hard to say. But, yeah, I see little mannerisms that you do that remind me of my father sometimes or stuff that Gwen or Graylin does a lot, you know, stuff reminds me of my mom in terms of, you know, way she looks or whatever. So.
Let's see. I had a question in my head and I totally forgot. What was it? Oh, yeah. So now that Gwen is in college and she's not home as much as she used to, is there anything you think has changed or is drastically different or even slightly different?
Well, yeah, drastically different. She's not here, so we miss her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not fighting with her as much because she's not here to fight with. So we just miss her, you know, spending time with her. So it's different just having the two of you around. We don't have to cook so much food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, different having two kids. And eventually you'll leave and do something. So and then it'll just be the three of us. So, yeah, it's always an adjustment, you know, when someone leaves home, even though it's only to college. We'll be back for the summer and for breaks. But, you know, eventually she'll leave and eventually you'll leave. And, you know, next year we'll be empty nesters. So it's an adjustment, yes.
Uh-huh. Do you think that after all three of us are out of the house and on our own, and we're all, say we're all in something important where we don't get to come home for a certain amount of time if we are too far away to just come home on a weekend, is that going to really change? Like, do you think you're going to kind of not enjoy just being here alone?
No, I mean we'll miss our kids, but you know, that's what happens to everybody. Then you and everybody, you know, your sisters will go out and you have your own life to start. So you're not going to be here every weekend. You might go, you know, like your grandparents, your mom's parents, they're in Florida now. We'll see them again until the spring. So, you know, you go a long time without seeing them, but that's all part of life, and you move on with your own life and your own family. And so then it's another chapter for your mom and I, just the two of us. You know, she has to put up with just me. And so so we'll see. You know, I mean, you know, it'll be just a different chapter, you know, things.
More parties while we're gone.
No, you know, things we'll do together, trips we'll take by ourselves, things we want to do that we haven't been able to do because, you know, we're raising all you guys. But, you know, maybe we want to go to Europe someday or go to Ireland or travel somewhere else. So
I think Ireland would be fun.
You know, all kinds of things you want to do.
Yeah. Let's see here. I had another thing in my head. So, like, let's see here. In your personal opinion or ideas, when it's just your room and you have two open rooms in the house while we don't live here anymore, what are you going to do with them? Mm-hmm. Are you going to keep them the same?
Well, just be bedrooms. Maybe make them not kid bedrooms, but, you know, we may sell the house. We don't need it. We don't need the big house anymore. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but that, you know, it's either you keep them as bedrooms.
Make
or
a poker room.
There you go. Game room. But, no, it's just, I mean, you know, you just make them. Because when you guys come back with your own kids, if we still have this house, everybody needs somewhere to stay, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not living around here.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, I can't think of anything else. Is there anything else you can think of or anything else you want to talk about before we end it?
Well, I mean, what do you think? I mean, are you happy with your parents? Are you proud of your parents?
Yeah, I am. I know you guys.
You don't like to be disciplined.
No one does, really.
No.
Yeah, like.
But you understand when you get older.
Yeah. I guess I'm. I know you guys make a lot of your own sacrifices for us, or to help us in our journey growing up or trying to find who we are. And I know all the money you guys will spend on us, especially with Gwen in college, how much money that is, especially going to Gettysburg with it being so expensive there and stuff like that. So I guess
it's not to say, I mean, it's like we want you to turn out what you're on, you're on the way to, but it's about, you know, molding you into becoming, you know, an adult and a responsible adult. And, Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about. It's not about the money. It's about, you know, helping you become the person you're going to be. Mm-hmm. That's what every parent is all about. That's all they care about, is make sure once their kids succeed and be happy and when they get older.
Uh-huh. Is there anything you want to add, Mother?
No.
No, she says no.
All right.
I guess I'll end it there. And we'll see how all this did. But I think we got a good amount of stuff in there, and I enjoyed it.
Good, yeah. Good having a discussion with you.
Learning about the family and stuff, so that was fun. And yeah, that's it.
Pretty
good. Yep.
Yeah.